My name is Patricia Kathleen, and this podcast series will contain interviews I conduct with female and female-identified entrepreneurs, founders, co-founders, business owners, and industry gurus. These podcasts speak with women and women-identified individuals across all industries in order to shed light for those just getting into the entrepreneurial game, as well as those deeply embedded within it. Histories, current companies, and lessons learned are explored in the conversations I have with these insightful and talented powerhouses. The series is designed to investigate a female and female-identified perspective in what has largely been a male-dominated industry in the USA to date. I look forward to contributing to the national dialogue about the long overdue change of women in American business arenas, and in particular, entrepreneurial roles. You can contact me via my media company website, wild.agency, that's WILDE.agency, or my personal website, patriciakathleen.com. Thanks for listening. Now let's start the conversation. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is Patricia, and I am gobsmacked today to be sitting down with Maxine Chapman and Nikki Rimmel. They are the founders of Surf Dirt, and I will let them crawl through what Surf Dirt is and their company just as soon as I welcome them. So welcome.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad you guys sat down with me today. I love your company. I love your product, and I actually like your website. So that's it's a threefer. It's a good start for. So for everyone listening, a quick roadmap of today. We're going to start off with Maxine and Nikki's brief academic history and professional life following academics. Then we'll climb into what Surf Dirt is, what it does, when it was launched, what stage it is in, any funding along the way, kind of those particulars of a startup. And then we'll go straight into goals that they have for the next 3 years. This could include scaling, product implementation, all of those different things. Then we will wrap everything up with everyone's favorite part, which is the advice that Maxine and Nikki have for other entrepreneurs out there that are younger or in earlier stages, in similar stages, or even more advanced stages. Just hearing the rhetoric and the platform of women talking to women is so crucial. So let's launch right into it. Let's get into a brief academic history and professional life following academics with Maxine.
My path was not linear at all leading up to this. I had no intention of running a company. I guess at school I was doing a mix of religious studies and politics, particularly in China.
Great.
I was really fascinated by this Tibetan Buddhist protest that was happening right as I was studying. And I went to China to decide whether or not it was something I wanted to pursue in the next stages of academia. And I just felt like my interests were a little too varied to put that much time and effort into furthering that vocation. Mm-hmm. And then that led me to a whole bunch of bizarre odds and ends jobs. I did a lot of serving and bartending, substitute teaching.
Nice.
Pretty much anything I could do non-committally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I traveled around a bunch, and I did a weird van trip, and then settled back down in San Diego, met Nikki, and started playing with sunscreen.
That's cool. All right, so Nikki, you're up.
Sure, yeah, so I graduated from UCSD. I guess it was a little more linear in the fact that I got into business after that business as far as I worked in English language college. Did admin there, and then I did project management for a solar company, and then I started working for a cabling company doing project management for them. And working in the workforce, I just realized that the 9-to-5 has never really been nor something that I wanted to keep doing. Mm-hmm. And that was the same time I had met Max, and this opportunity presented itself and just seemed too good to pass up. So
okay, let's get into it. What is Surf Dirt? And it's D-U-R-T. Surf is spelled the right way. Well, let's drop your website, www.surfdurt.com.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. So how did it come to be? You guys met up, and what? Was it a bunch of margaritas or like some yoga class and a realization moment? How did it happen?
I think we were sort of learning to surf together, but the product itself did already exist. My dad is a PhD chemist, so that definitely helped. It was not all us. Yeah. Back then we had it. I had this like big rickety Chevy van, and we would go surfing, really poorly surfing because we were just learning. And I had this stuff in like a Tupperware because my dad and I were making it to sort of not be part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother's also an environmental lawyer, and they're all from Hawaii, which was about to ban two of the most toxic chemicals in majority of sunscreens, oxybenzone and oxinoxate. So as a family, we were sort of privy to all these things happening, and it was sort of a fun father-daughter project. And then as we learned to surf, I think we would just have these sessions waiting for waves and playing with names.
Nice.
And sometimes we'd, you know, rinse off the seaweed and then go mix up batches in her living room, Mission Beach. And
nice.
Somewhere along the way, it started to become more of a business than a hobby.
Yeah, but just mixing up your own batches. So let's
yeah.
get into that. Let's get into some of the particulars, because you guys have a very like environmentally friendly, and not it goes beyond, I think, the environment, because, you know, let's talk about reefs for anyone in the audience who doesn't understand all of that.
Yeah,
and then let's
please.
Get into like the human body and being friendly to that as well. So can you guys tell us about the product?
Yeah, so Surf Dirt is made with non-nano zinc oxide, which is the least toxic ingredient you could use when you're out in the water. The other ones, like Max was saying, oxybenzone and oxinoxate have been proven to have harmful effects on the coral reefs. So those were the two that were banned in Hawaii, and countries like Palau are doing that now, as well as Florida. I just saw is trying to pass some laws. I don't know if they have yet.
Yes,
there's
definitely.
There's a lot of movement in like in other countries and states that are trying to do that. But so we use non-nano zinc oxide and then beeswax, cacao butter, and some other essential oils.
Food grade ingredients. You could technically eat it.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is it's, I used to break out all the time with chemical sunscreens. It's a lot gentler on your skin. The two chemicals she mentioned are the ones you'll see in the news headlines all the time.
Yeah.
They're getting banned. But there's a plethora of other ingredients that are really toxic for us. They're really bad for kids in their first three growth stages because there's hormone disruptors involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's very damaging to the coral reef in surprising amounts. So even just one drop of oxybenzone pollutes up to 6 Olympic swimming pools worth of coral reef.
And I think that that's the biggest confusion, you know, amongst
sure.
people who first hear about it. They're like, I'm one surfer, I'm one
how
swimmer,
much
how much am I doing? Yeah.
Right. And so actually a lot of that information is coming right out of Scripps Institute in San Diego, which is awesome. So then, you know, you multiply that by hundreds of thousands of tons going into the ocean
mm-hmm.
every year, and it really is deteriorating that ecosystem exponentially. The other thing about Surf Dirt is, one, it's the lowest possible toxicity you can have with that high level of an SPF rating, but it's also not water soluble. So
mm-hmm.
you take it into the water and you take it back out with you.
Nice. What's the SPF on it?
It's SPF 30.
Nice. Yeah. I've read that SPF 50 is a lie anyway.
<That's crazy.
laughs> Unless it's
such
shade or clothing.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely. So when did you guys launch it, and what stage do you consider it to currently be in?
So we launched in 2017, and the stage we're at, we brought it to market at this point. So we are, we're, I don't know what stage you
selling in business.
Yeah, in business.
We're in about 100 retail stores.
You're in 100.
Yeah.
And was that done all by you guys?
Yes. Knocking
yeah.
on doors, mm-hmm. living in a van together, crawling
it's a lot.
Up, inching
yeah.
up.
It's a lot of intimate pitches,
yeah,
you know, to
yeah,
people, getting those meetings. What about online sales? What are you guys doing there?
Our online sales, so we've steered away from like our online platforms. It's actually something we're trying to work on right now. We haven't, you know, focused fully on strengthening those, but that's something we're trying to do at the moment. We were gaining most of our sales from our retail stores, and then Amazon was huge for us, so
we're still sort of exploring all the right online
yeah.
platforms.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely sell through our website and trying to decide if third-party distributors is right for us, and Amazon.
So much to weigh there.
All those,
yeah.
all the ways it cuts into your profit margin and undercuts companies. And
criminally,
so
Bezos needs to ease up. You know, seriously, because Amazon takes like such a massive amount.
Huge cut.
From
sure.
the representation, and I'm not convinced that it's like the best service researcher either, like for people who are coming at it, you know?
Yeah, it's a huge platform, lots of eyes on it. It makes us cringe a little bit because we like to use all recycled packaging and we like hate seeing things bubble wrapped.
So much packaging. Yeah.
So we're, like she said, we're strengthening our online presence right now and still exploring.
You guys have a refill-like policy. Is that, I don't know if that's still in place on your website. So people can, they use up the container and they mail it back into you guys and you give them a 25% off your next order.
Exactly. So it was something we were thinking about doing for a long time and then all these people started asking us about it, not knowing about it. So then we finally launched that just, I want to say, like a couple weeks ago. So, and we haven't been promoting that hugely yet either, but it's something we definitely want to start.
How will you work that? Will you literally reuse the containers or will you recycle them to make sure that they're done?
Recycle them.
We'll recycle them back into the system, sanitize it, and refill it, but you're definitely not going to get your same container. But it does
back.
Go back into, into the Surf Dirt ecosystem.
Nice. That's cool. So you for launching in 2017, you guys have made some serious strides. Like it's been a it's got to have been like.
We do hope so. I mean, we're hard on ourselves often, but we're looking back, it is, we have, you know, should give ourselves a pat on the back for it, but
Have you taken funding to get everything to where it should be? Nuh-uh. Yeah. You guys bootstrapped?
Definitely.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. So
We're exploring options in the future, and we definitely want to scale from where we are now, but bootstrapping seemed like the right way to keep all our company culture and policies aligned without, you know, sort of diluting it with someone else's vision in the beginning, at least. Yeah.
What is your goal for, like, the next 3 years? What's your dream goal?
Next 3 years. Well,
I know we definitely are. We definitely want to be releasing some new products. There's so much waste in sports industry in general, but it's particularly with surfers. We like to think it's such an ecologically minded group. It's people that rely entirely on the environment to be able to do their sport, and so we'd love to see more surf products being done in a more ecological way and to have play a role in that. So we're sort of queuing up some more products.
Nice.
We'd love to, scaling is a huge one. I think for two people who've never run a company before, getting a product out on shelves, that first stage is much more intuitive than the growth stage.
Mm-hmm.
So
have you identified your customer right now? It's you guys, it's surfers, it's things like that. Are you going to expand that to, I mean, my mind always goes to children. So
yeah,
I was like, protect that young skin.
Yeah, we were super surprised to find out a large customer base for us are like eco-centric moms. We actually did this huge order with this subscription box called Eco-Centric Moms.
And got a lot of interest.
Yeah, a lot of emails and inquiries through our Instagram from mothers who are concerned about the ingredients. And it just seems like
great.
Yeah, it would fit
teach
there.
Teach kids early how, I mean, it really is much better for us. The stuff, so for example, there's no such thing as clear sunscreen. Sunscreen, if it's going on clear, it just means your skin is eating it in less than a second and it's going into your bloodstream. And
right.
Of course, if it's chemical, you're introducing all these weird hormone disruptors, which is no good for any of us, but particularly harmful for children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome to be teaching kids young to be mindful of.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like to see the bright white or colors on the face, you know, to see where it's been, where it's going.
And you know you're protected because you can see it.
Right. You guys have, speaking of that, you have two different colors, at least that I saw on your website. I might be dated with this, but you have kind of like a nude, and I think you call it bright or zombie white, neutral tan and zombie white.
Yeah.
Do you have you ever thought about going into different colors, or what made you guys choose that? Was it just out of like, that's what the colors come out like?
Yeah, so the zombie one was what the product initially looked like when you know, the family had been making it forever. It's always been the classic lifeguard look, which is killer. A lot of surfers love that look. And then we decided to come out with the tan one as well for a more pigmented one. That's more ideal for people who don't want that, obviously. But we've definitely been thinking about doing colors for the kids, like bright colors. I think they obviously would go well with families.
Bright colors
festivals.
For kids. I'd love to see some different skin tones, even. Mm-hmm. You know,
I was wondering about just the different skin tone population out there, if you are going for camouflage.
Right now, we just sort of have a neutral, sort of middle ground one. It's not meant to like match your skin color perfectly. It's not makeup, but it's a little less zombie than the opaque white.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're in this Connect All program for diverse leaders and founders, and we look around and we're like, it would be cool to have, something that was a little skin tone for everybody.
Yep. So let's get into that. Have you guys, tell me about mentorship. Have you found any? Did Connect provide you with some good stuff? I won't tell. Don't worry about it, even if the answer is no. But can you kind of speak to whether or not you guys have mentors and what, since we are at Connect All, which was in, I don't know if they're calling it an accelerator or a mentorship program.
Yeah, accelerator.
Go ahead, accelerator, I guess, yeah.
So can you speak to some of what that has offered you? Because you're wrapping up a six-month stint, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they've offered us so many resources. We have classes every Wednesday that are on,
amazing.
An array of topics, marketing, business plans, financial planning, which, people who have never started a business were like, yes, please, tell us everything you can. And then they've also, as far as a mentorship goes, we were supposed to be assigned a mentor, and that fell through, but that actually kind of ended up working out because Alex has gotten us in contact with, I think, like 3 or 4 people in different areas that have helped us with very specific things that we really needed help with. So rather than having like an ongoing mentor, we've been able to talk to a few different people to help us through these obstacles that we were having, which has been really cool. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, a bunch of different perspectives. It's different than having somebody who knows your journey beginning to end and goes through it with you. But we've been able to gain a lot from like the collage method of mentorship. And
is there a community? Do you guys know more people because you've been here, or have you been introduced to?
Definitely, you realize how small of a community it is, like the entrepreneur world and small business and venture capitalism even. You see the same people at the same events, so it's kind of cool. We're just barely getting our feet wet with that aspect of it, but it is cool to like see the same people and familiar faces.
Community here is awesome. For me, I don't know, I think entrepreneurship, especially in the beginning, is really lonely too. So having in sort of a incubator space like this, the people who are sharing the same insane hours, and it's been a really unique experience. It's been I think the community here is wonderful for our business and also really great on a personal level.
It gets said a lot, but I think it's very underwhelmed. I think entrepreneurship has a lot of lonely stages, getting out of those is paramount to even just feeling good about success. Yeah. Can't celebrate alone. I guess you can, but it's you and your glass. So you guys have, you have product design and manufacturing kind of headed, at the crux. It sounds like bootstrapping, you guys were mixing it up and in the front room in Mission Beach. And so what I'm wondering is that you clearly went from that to some kind of a manufacturing stage. But what I always wonder with people in your unique predicament is, let's say champagne problems, you have a spike in sales, you have a rainfall. Are you prepared to meet a higher demand very, very quickly? Or would you go back to the negotiating board with manufacturing?
Yeah. So that's what the problem we faced kind of more recent is that we were doing very well on Amazon to the point where, we were having trouble keeping up with manufacturing. So we had decided more recently to look for, to outsource our manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. Exploring options at least. Our assembly line is very small now. We have a few small solar powered machines. The next level of scale up would be, it's within reach, we'd probably need about 300 square feet more of space. And, right now we have solar-powered manufacturing, which has meant a lot to us.
That's key. I mean, because solar-powered manufacturing, I think that's the first time I've read that, which is, I can't believe that, because that's cool. And I should have read it before that someone else was doing it. How did you guys come upon that? How did you even know it was doable to have solar-powered manufacturing? Who introduced you to that?
I'm going to say my dad. I wish that we had, but he's an engineer now and with a PhD chemistry background, and he just has a very innovative bend. So we share a lot of the same, I think, ideals and opinions about just wanting to prove that it was viable to do it this way, economically viable to do it this way. It wasn't just like a moral choice, like it makes sense, it's healthy for a business's finances to do it that way. We really don't know what will come with all the scale up and the growth that we are hoping for and working for. So we're exploring options with it, but it's definitely a balancing act, trying to do both the sales and the manufacturing.
Absolutely. And it sounds like I just gave you a good dose of fear talking about a spike in sales.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's because
you have to be mindful of it and keep in, you know, expect or be ready for whatever, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, you know, talks about, well, you know, windfall of orders and you'll just be flying high. And it's actually, every time I talk to someone, they're like, it's quite the opposite. I'd like slow and steady growth, yeah, you know, yeah, to kind of approach that as it happens.
For sure. We've heard horror stories too. Like, yeah. One of my business idols is, yeah, Yvon Chouinard, Patagonia, and he had to shut his down for a while because of how insane, like, the growth was, and then stop and be mindful of how to restart it.
I talked to someone who turned down a massive order that would have made her, you know, an incredibly wealthy woman, because she knew if she took it on, it would immediately compromise quality. It was for, called Wander Wet Bags. It's for a wet swimsuit
plan. Yeah.
She had to turn down, Eileen Zimmerman, she had to turn down an order early on because she knew she didn't have the growth potential. And there was no way she would meet that order. But see, I mean, there you go. People are always thinking like, yeah, it's just getting that first million orders. Like, well, that could be a problem up front if it doesn't happen. But then when does life ever grow in this very beautiful way that you're going to catch, you know, into this eternal, healthy bliss? It's good. So if you guys were running into a couple of powerful female or female-identified women that had gotten together in a camper van and were learning how to surf, and they're like, yeah, we're going to do a startup. It's going to be great. What are, like, the two top pieces of advice for each of you that you would give to that group, those two people?
Well, I would say it's definitely a commitment thing. I would think more recently I was thinking, as much as surfing is, if you're going to, like, ride the wave, you got to commit, you know? So it's one of those things, and like, but also enjoy it. This is really metaphorical with the wave, but just like, it should be fun, which, like, I found this entire experience to be super fun, to be able to learn all these different aspects. It's definitely difficult. Obviously you have to make compromises in so many different aspects of your life, but definitely, I mean, for me personally, I have to be enjoying something, you know, to continue to do.
That's really good. I hope that never changes.
Yeah,
you're gonna have a good life.
Yeah.
If you only continue with things that are fun, like, you're gonna be the world's raddest 80-year-old alive.
Yeah, cool. Man, I can think of a lot of things I wish I'd known. Or like, I mean, I think you find the right people to work with, and it's important to value them. I think we're both not always so, like, outwardly complimentary with each other, and we've had so many hard things to go through, and it's so different being really great, easy friends and then running a business together and crashing through all these learning lessons. And just the people part is always really hard, so just trying to do it with a lot of gratitude and mindfulness. And
that's good. I mean, do people ever tell you how... People ever tell you how rare it is to have, I mean, they say the best way to kill a marriage or a friendship or any type of camaraderie is to start a business together.
Yeah. You know? We live together, too. Yeah. We're, like, breaking all these rules in spades. Yeah.
It's good, though. I mean, I think that when it works, that's proof that when it works, it works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, do people ever talk to you about how amazing that is, or is it just kind of like, that's great?
People are like, you guys are crazy.
Have like, you not killed each other yet? Yeah.
Great. Well, okay, so the two I took was... enjoy it. It should be fun, and approach it with gratitude.
Yeah.
So I like those a lot. Those are really awesome, and I've never heard either one before. So that's phenomenal.
What's yours?
My piece of advice from my history. That's the first time it's ever been turned on me. I think that I hate the way I want to say that, which is tragic. I would say stay open. I think that 90% of the things that I could have done differently was because I was being, in my persistence and direction, too narrow. Mm-hmm. And being open has always led me to a much, much greater path, even if it seemed lesser in the beginning. And then the second one would probably be to pick your drinking buddies wisely. You know, because you can be sitting down with someone who will... change the next 20 years of your life without knowing it, or you could be sitting down next to Bobo and have to buy him drinks for the next hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. You caught me off guard. I'll go home and think, oh, I could have done so much better. I'm not going to edit it out.
No, I'm glad to have heard that.
We are at the end. Thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate you taking the time to meet with me today. I know no one gets busier than entrepreneurs, especially bootstrapping ones. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, and I love what you're doing. I would love to see more women in the mentorship programs we've been in and out of. So I think what you're doing is really
awesome. Are you guys open to people contacting you if they have questions about entrepreneurship?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So it's again, it is Maxine Chapman and Nikki Rimmel, and you can contact them via their website, www.surfdirt.com. That's D-U-R-T. And this has been Patricia, Kathleen. Thank you to everyone listening. I appreciate you guys spending this half hour with me. And remember, as you go, to always bet on yourself. Until I talk next time, sluncha.